Hey, Chief. Chief. Hey. Hey, William. What'd you do today?
Let's see. I watched some Phineas and Ferb, took a nap, had a snack. I'm a little tired. You know that's right. It's episode 2, season 5 of this podcast, End of Psych, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backracker, Dr. Joe, riding shotgun in the blueberry with me. As always, is my hunk in crime, the menace of Malden, Billy D. How's it going?
Hello. By the way, I forgot to mention this last week, I think. The point is fucking perfect now for those of you listening. It is dynamite.
We nailed it 2 weeks in a row.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And all for like a month too.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to mention in like our little chat beforehand, I have had about 130 ounces of water, so I may need you to fill at some point during this podcast. But if there was ever a time to do it, it's this episode.
Yeah, gonna go rip a piss. Oh, well, welcome. What a way to start the show, baby. Welcome back. We are talking Psych Season 5, Episode 2, Feet Don't Fail Me Now. And before we dive into all the goodness that is this episode, Billy, remind the listeners of our process.
Well, of course, it starts with a holla, ends with the creamsicle, and if there's a little time in between, a little Thundercats.
Ho! So, quick synopsis. When a woman is found dead with a bottle of pills that are lab trial samples, Lassiter and Gus, who are taking the same tap class, team up to dance their way to catching a murderer. Boy, howdy, is this a fun-ass episode.
Mixed doubles. I mean, it's a classic odd pairing. You love seeing this in, like, Stranger Things or, you know, any of the Avengers movies. Like, the team-ups of odd pairings always lead to, like, the best content possible. And from the start of this episode, it is unstoppable.
It's absolutely fantastic. And what makes it great is that the pairing of Gus and Lassie actually works, and there's some admiration between the two until it doesn't. The pairing of Sean and Jules just never
disaster
gets off the fucking ground, and it is even better. So that dynamic all episode long, and then when the fucking fellowship finally gets back together again at the end, makes it all the more sweeter. This is without a doubt a top 10 all-timer for me.
Oh, easy. It has to be. And if I reshuffled, I'd have to look at it now. This is before we even started the podcast, when I did like my top 25 or whatever. This is definitely on it. I don't know where it fell, but rewatching this episode, it is undeniable. Like the flashback and the cold open, pretty good. Other than that, like once we get going, like the first 4 minutes has some of the funniest stuff in the season.
Yeah. Oop, what did I do here? There we go. I did something. Okay, good. We're good. We're good. Yeah.
I don't even know what you did.
I can't find my notes. I mean, so this is one of the cool, I love this cold open, you know, because we're seeing some more grown up. We're seeing the kids now that they've grown up a little bit. But before we get into all of that, let's point out who the director and the writers are for this episode. So this is another thing we have to do too, is we have to take a look at the director and see what other episodes they've directed. So the director for this one is Mel Damsky, and he's directed 23 episodes of Psych.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones I highlighted were Santa Barbara Town 2, An Evening with Mr. Yang, Yang in 3D, one of your favorite Billy's, Spelling Bee.
Mm-hmm.
He did a bunch of episodes throughout season 2 and 3, High Noonish, you know, episodes of that nature. And then someone's got a Woody, which is another great, great Woody episode. So he's actually like, I wouldn't, you know, well, Yang, obviously, but like I keep the Yang stuff separate. But like taking a look at a lot of these episodes, they're all really, really good episodes. There's not a single one of them. There might be one or two if I were to take a look at all 23. I was kind of like, oh, because he did Psy versus Psy, which, right, that one was how he felt.
That's
about
more Lindsay Lycan.
Right. But like he's directed some good episodes of Psych there. And then this one was written by Steve Franks, Saladin K. Patterson, and Tim Meldriger. So, you know, Franks having a hand in this, you could tell, because this is classic Fat Sean. It is classic Psych wittiness, and the jokes come at you fast and are delivered perfectly. And tell the people who the standout guest star is in this one, Billy.
Well, if I just get quickly on Mel, because I did the same thing even before I looked at the notes. I looked at his stuff, too. This is by far his funniest episode.
Oh, hands down. This is the best one he's done.
Yeah, the Yang ones are obviously good episodes overall. But this one is, like, it didn't seem like when I looked at his other episodes, I was like, this doesn't fit into the other episodes. Like we said, they were good episodes. But this one is, like, hysterical.
What we should have done too is then cross-referenced, right, and extrapolated. But like cross-referenced, like, okay, which ones did he direct and who are the writers? Did Steve Franks write? How many of those was Steve Franks had a hand in writing? And I probably venture to guess, probably not many, you know?
Season 2 and 3, he had a good amount. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can get to the guest star now. Sorry to throw a step on your funk there. and I think I know why you threw it up to me. Danielle Harris, Tanya. I'm not here to play twist and pull with you. Hubba hubba. She is right at my, you know, she's my perfect speed. Guest stars, like this episode was carried by the odd paired dynamic duos, right? It was all about Sean and Gus. And Lassie and Jules and flipping them on their head and like pairing them off in different scenarios. So we have Ben, we have the crazy lady, we have his girlfriend who dies, and they're just super background players, but it's a pretty good case anyways.
Yeah, I thought the case was great. And I mean, it's like you could, this is one of those episodes where we probably didn't even need to mention the standout guest star because, right? But I'll tell you, Tanya was a real fucking minx. And one of my favorite lines is Sean just says something and then she responds back. He's, I can't lose with this girl, which is just such a brilliant line because he's not flirting with her, but she does, you know, that classic, you know, she turns it into a, you know, a euphemism or a double entendre.
Yeah. I'd like to donate my body to science. Yeah. Volunteer to buy.
Yeah. I can't miss with this girl. It was such a great line. And then looked at Jules. Give Sean is absolutely priceless. So
what
she was,
what you had your chance.
Yes, right. So she was a little minx. So we'll put her. I'll tell you what. Next week's episode, not so close encounters.
Oh, Freddie Prince.
Freddie Prince. But he's not even the standout. I guess he's great in that episode. But his wife.
Oh,
I'm going full creepy ass Gus on that one.
That was the creepiest hello ever.
Yeah. But we'll get to that one in a few weeks. So the cold open, as we mentioned a few moments ago, we see an older Sean and an older Gus here. And you just see Gus just sort of shuffling, you know, on the grass. And he hears Sean coming. So he puts something behind his back. And Sean's like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just playing board grass.
My favorite thing, too, is when he's like, Gus, all your permanent teeth are in. You're playing for keeps now.
Right. And then Gus is like, you know, people start picking on me. I just pull up that tap board and show them who's bad.
Unbelievable. Like,
oh, good God, Gus. You know, your permanent teeth are in now. You're playing for keeps now. So I thought it wasn't the best cold open, but I love board grass. And then that line that fucking Gus delivers, like, I'll just show them who's bad. Like, no. A dance competition. This isn't Footloose. This isn't Thrill. You're not going to save the day. But we get right into it from that, into the case where a car is being pulled out of the water. You don't necessarily know there's a dead body in it yet, but you see Lassie, you see Jules, and Lassie's pretty demeaning towards Jules because, like, she wants, you know, this is her first case back since Yang. And, you know, Lassie's like, I'm pulling rank here. You're not ready yet. You're still screwed. Go get me a coffee, Toots, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a douche to her this episode.
He is, but it's not like straight up mean. It's kind of like, you know, tongue in cheek, funny mean, at least for the episode. It is like mansplaining, go get me a coffee, but it's not like super rude, like Lassie when he's being mean to Gus about his buddies in the acapella episode. But I hear you on that for sure. but it is a nice setup to show that Jules isn't fully back yet. Still, it's kind of connecting the other episode into this. And, you know, we're getting to one of my favorite lines that you wrote down here when Sean and Gus come on the scene.
I say this all the time.
Me too. I fucking love this one.
It's such a great line. It's always stuck with me. And this is the second time in the series that Lassie's told Spencer to keep his pie hole shut. The first time was in the football episode, and Sean didn't have a response. And this time he said, Spencer, keep your pie hole shut. And he goes, nothing shuts my pie hole except pie.
And Lassie even get like Lassie even gives it like a look off and like kind of like a nod of acknowledgement, like, oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the car's getting pulled out of the water, you know, Jules. And that's the thing too, is like, I think people assume Jules isn't ready, but she's itching to get in on this case, which is added to the dynamic, which was great. But as the car comes out of the water, they do in fact find a dead body. And I love this little scene here between Lassie and Buzz, where he's, you know, Lassie just kind of talking out loud. He's like, did it rain last night? Yeah, about what time? Okay, so the car comes speeding around the corner, maybe it's going a little too fast. Boom, boom. So like Lassie's already he's already going to write this off as just an accident. But of course, right, Sean, doesn't think, you know, that's the case, but Henry won't let him on the case. Yeah. they keep getting shut down. And then we get a great little thing here where
this is unbelievable.
This is so like little peep ahead to our favorite moments, but anything that involves tap dancing. We're talking about tap dancing in this episode is our favorite moments. And so Gus is in a hurry. He's late. He's got to go get to tap class. And Sean, it's like, what?
What do you mean?
You mean that wasn't a bit? You know, I'm getting patient, Gus, because I'm getting back to things I'm love, taking care of myself. And then I fucking love this.
For a brief period in 93, I was known as DJ Cold Cuts. You don't see me dusting off my turntables and playing the curves downtown.
the curves downtown burned down, Sean.
Huh, so that's why they haven't been returning my calls.
I fucking love that.
Fucking real. I love that. And my buddy, Marco, very Italian man, I call him DJ Cold Cuts.
When are we going to see DJ Cold Cuts in Madden?
Ooh, that's a great name.
Right? Soon.
Yeah, first draft pick.
Like DJ Moore, and now you got DJ, and then Cold Cuts. Right?
It's a fucking perfect like DJ name too.
It really is. It really, and it fits Sean like perfectly in the way he delivers the line. So then, like, Sean's disgusted. Gus starts to walk away, and then he's approached by fucking Lassie, and Lassie's curious about Gus's tap. And I love this exchange because this is where the relationship, you know, the pairing for these two kind of begins. Well, Lassie's ever heard, are you taking tap classes?
No. Am I to understand you're taking tap class?
Yeah, right.
Will it make you faster? Are you investigating some sort of tap dancing drug ring? Fucking hysterical.
It's just so good. Like, they're belittling Gus, and then, you know, and it all pays off with a tap dancing at the end, which was absolutely phenomenal. But we get, I know who the East Side Raper is. So the next scene is Gus. He's at tap dance. He's at dance class. And, you know, this is really Gus dancing. He is, if I read correctly way back when, he's a very accomplished. Tapper. Yeah. Like very accomplished. And I love that they worked that in. They found a way to like, you know, write that into an episode. And so he's there, he's dancing, you know, he's like trying to suck up to the teacher there. Like someone missed a few steps. Right. And
I can see everything in the window, Mr. Guster. Thank you.
I'm just, you know, and then, you know, a woman comes in and says, Mr. Guster, you have, someone's here to see you. So he and the rest of us all think it's Sean, right? Because that's what Sean does. But it's not. It's Lassie. And it's so he's like, hey, I think I might be starting to, you know, oh, how does it go? Oh, so they're going back and forth, and it's like, listen, my therapist told me I needed to, you know, what'd he say? You know, pretty much, you know, get out of my comfort zone. And he starts like, you know, if you could do it, how hard can it be? So Gus brings him in, and I fucking love this because you just got Gus. I mean, you Lassie, he's just fucking two left feet, right? Bumping into people.
I also love what he says, since I don't like books that aren't about military strategy and don't prefer the company of women platonically or something. That also
Right. Oh man.
But yeah, he can't dance. He looks terrible, and he's about to quit right off the gate.
Yeah, and then when he's about to quit, right? I love this line from Gus where he says, "I didn't want you to quit. I just wanted to show you how hard it was." You know, I personally think that anyone who carries a gun should do whatever their therapist tells them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was just a great line from Gus. So what Gus does, and this was a great little bit here, was that, you know, Gus takes Lassie into a room and just teaches him a couple of basic little tap moves, a little, mm-hmm. little stamp, you know, a little shuffle. And then they start getting into a little rhythm, and he's like, I could just feel the stress just, you know, work, you know, melting away. This pansy shit might be working after all. It's like, again, okay, you can tell this was about over a decade.
I wouldn't exactly say pansy, yeah, but what I was gonna say was way more fancy.
Which I fucking love. And he goes, what are you stressed about? He goes, work. My neighbor's suing me for killing the squirrels. You know, mostly work.
Yep.
And then they're doing, and then he goes, oh, shit, I forgot to call the lab about the pills. He calls. He's got the pills in his hand. And Gus goes, those are lab trial pills. You can tell by the octagonal shape, right? And
pentagonal.
There we go. Yeah, I got my fucking, you know, geometry.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll get Swaggins shapes on the case for you.
I'll tell you what, she is fucking dynamite with her shapes. And you show her a diamond, and she goes, no, it's a rhombus. Ooh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So Lassie goes, Gus, are you busy right now? So that is it. That's
well, he also doesn't know he works in pharmaceuticals. Like, how do you know that? Right. I work in pharmaceuticals, remember?
Right.
And I love five seasons.
He's always reminding people that. So as they're leaving the dance studio to go check out, you know, to go to the lab where these samples came from, in comes Sean, who he was able to track Gus because he turned on the parental controls on his phone and to get alerts anytime his credit card is used to purchase condoms or glue.
Cigarettes or glue.
Oh, that's right. Cigarettes.
But you're skipping over. That's what they mean in the lab.
Oh, that's right.
When he finds him out in front of the tap class because he knew where to find him. And this is where he finds him for what reason, Joe?
Well, because they're just double downs. They're just
giving them away. They're just giving them away.
The way he says it, there's that, like, the his facial expression is somewhere between, like, utter joy, enthusiasm, and sheer shock. They're just giving them away. I was getting to that because I thought that's what he said, and then he went into the double downs. But like, that might be like, that is a moment. Like we talk about, there's certain lines, there's certain scenes from episodes that, you know, just stick with us. You know, like for me, when Sean gets the yips, he's talking about the dyspepsia. You know that, you know,
purple headed lesbian.
Yeah, and that scene, and then from this episode, it's always the double down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much more too, because then there's the whole tap dancing stuff. But that line, and the way he delivers it is an all time Sean delivered line.
Giving them away, it's great. And at the time, this is like what, 2009, 2010? Like the double downs were a real thing, and they were flopping.
It's 2010. Since it means we're at war with the machines.
Unbelievable. Which I really need to start carrying like a pocket calendar or something.
So this is where, you know, Gus or Lassie kind of informs Sean that he goes, or I should say Gus informs Sean that he goes, well, Lassie asked me to work. It would just be this one case, Sean. And, And then Sean's just like so bewildered. He can't believe it. He's like, we're a package deal. You don't get Jake the Snake Roberts without Damien the Python. Damien, Gus, without breathing fire out of your sweet, sweet nostrils, tell him you're not working on this case. And then Gus is like, well, yeah, it's just one case, you know. And now we get it on.
We get it on, they go back and forth a little bit about being able to solve cases without one another.
Gus goes,
you know, over the years, we've learned that you really can't solve a case without me. And John just pauses and goes, we haven't learned anything over the years. It fucking kills me.
All you do is this. And all you do is. And then I love this line too, where Gus just goes, it is on. Like mascara on Prince. It is on. And then I love the, you know, like him getting to ride shotgun. The little seatbelt bit that we got from the outtakes from last episode, they laid into here, you know, with Gus doing the same thing.
Great, by the way. That's good observation, right?
Yeah. So that was like, you know, it obviously made them laugh when they were doing that and they wanted to add it in to this. So now we've got the dynamic of Lassie and Gus working. And so we get back to the station now. And do we get back to the station?
No, we go to the lab where they interrogate the lab tech, and Gus does some nice detective work here, knowing that it's a double blind trial and that somebody else definitely worked on it, even though she was claiming to have worked alone, that she admitted to the test alone.
Right.
Pretty good get for them, because they know now that they have not maybe like a tangible suspect, but somebody got their hands on pills, because the girl who died wasn't actually in the lab trial. This is where Sean turns around in the lab coat out of nowhere, and you get the I installed the parental controls on your phone. He says liquor or glue is fucking kills me.
I'm a player, Sean.
A little bit of overkill, don't you think? But you get some good information here, and they're still not going to like let, you know, Sean be in on the case.
Yeah. And what I love too, you not only get a great comedic dynamic with the odd couple pairings, but what I also love too is that independent of each other, they're both getting clues for the case. Mm-hmm. Like Lassie and Gus, they're pursuing the case from one angle. Sean and Jules are pursuing it from another angle. So they're both finding legitimate clues about the case, and it does eventually lead them both to the same place. But I love that dynamic. You know, we see it a couple of times, especially when they're interviewing the crazy lady at the station, because they both go into the interrogation booth and she's there and she's like, well, you both called me. But I thought that was really great how they did that, where it wasn't just like two people on a random side mission while the other two people were working on the case, or it was like they're working on something different that ended up, you know, in some convoluted manner, you know, relating to the case. That was really good, like seeing those two groups kind of bump heads. But I love this when they get back to the station and Sean wants on the case, and Henry agrees.
Oh my god.
And yeah. I love the reason why Henry agrees.
He agrees because he has to still pay Psyche their full rate. And he doesn't want him to get paid when he's just going to be sitting on his ass. So he's like, let's find you a partner. Like, he's going to pick fucking McNabb. Or Dobson or something. He's like, you, Juliet, get over here. And this is where, you know, they pair him up. You know, no need for anything to fall through the cracks. He gives him that, like, little hand wave away.
Because Jules says something to the effect of, like, she makes a babysitter comment.
Yeah, Lassie's been treating her like a rookie. And that, you know, she's going to have to play babysitter to Sean. Babysitter, Jules? Really? Sean, what have you done today? Well, let's see. Watched a little Phineas and Ferb, took a nap, had a snack. A little tired. I use this so much when people are like, what did you do today? Oh, well, you know what? I actually, and then go into that and they're like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm going to tell you something else. This little peek behind the curtain. I can't tell you how true to life that line is for me. Great swag is, and I we you know, she doesn't watch it so much now, but there was a time we'd watch that and then she'd go down for a nap and I would go down as well, you know.
Took a nap, had a snack.
I'm a little hungry. So I love this, and this is where we get, you know, them trying to interview the same witness, So this, we get a good piece of information here where the lab tech comes clean. She's trying to protect her lab partner, Ben, because he's been giving his girlfriend, who's the victim,
fertility drugs
because they were trying to have a baby. You got to see the baby. The baby. But they aren't even married. Gus, get with the times. It's 2008. It's 2010. Ha! I'm not buying that. That would mean we're at war with the machines.
Again, the way he says machines kills me.
Oh, and it's so fucking perfect. And again, that's like classic Shaw. It's like, you know, the stuff where they're like, I've heard it both ways, or like the word, you know, the mix up on the word plays, like not knowing what year it is. And like, yeah, I need to reward the machines.
Also, and Gus is outraged that they're trying to conceive a baby out of wedlock too, which I find hilarious because it comes back up. They were living insane and driving insane. Fucking ridiculous line.
Fucking Gus. Oh, man. Which makes the third Psych movie make a little bit more sense now. I forgot that's how outraged, you know, because finding out about is what. Anyways, I digress. But this is a great little scene too, because at the end, like, they Gus both, and like, fucking Lassie try to make, you know, because they don't want to give like any clues to the other team that's pursuing the case. And this is where Sean's like, you know, a little heavy petting over the clothes, third base action.
Yeah, you get out of there. Unreal.
Gross. He goes, or go for some coffee. Yes, let's do that. So you could tell, I don't know how you felt the first time you watched this episode, Billy, but like, for me, like, this is one of the rare instances where I'm like, it's her.
Yeah, she did it. Yeah. I don't think because my problem is when I watch a show like this that's a comedy, I'm not looking for it, you know, I'm just kind of there. But like, once you said she was sus, I was like, yeah, she was awful, especially when she comes back in with the ducat and you're like, oh, that's really sus.
Yeah, you know, they always want to interject themselves into the case and really steering them in a particular direction. So they go to Ben's house, they both show up there, they start bickering. Sean's got fucking Lassie's keys, he chucks them. Ben just fucking plows that car right to the
He pulls it a Italian job and he's out.
Yeah, it takes off. And Henry is pissed. He is absolutely pissed that these, you know, they let their bickering and their squabbles.
We got into a disagreement.
Yes.
Well, your little disagreement. He likes to use your words against you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's like, yeah, he likes to use your words against you.
Killed me.
Sean, this is, I think, hands down the best Sean season.
Unstoppable. He was unstoppable in this episode.
Yeah, this is the best Sean season. I think season 5, I think unequivocally, is the best season of this show.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think you can argue kind of the other ones, and this one, like, it's just that, like we said, like the mixed doubles add such a dynamic to this episode that gives you a feel that you really haven't had yet in this show. And he was just giving it his all in this episode, and you could tell.
Yeah, he didn't miss, and he wasn't necessarily the center. There was no real central character because of the odd pairings, which I really enjoyed. I enjoyed that, and that's going to be something we're going to have to add to the season 5 recap show. Is we'll have to rank the first 5 seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
We'll go on.
We can just do that going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I love too about this scene is that we get, Gus ushering Lassie into an empty room, and they forget to pull all the blinds down, and they start tapping, because tapping, we have learned, clears Lassie's head, gets them thinking straight. So that helps them, like, what did we miss? What are we missing? And it's like the rental car, there's got to be a low jack. So that's the angle that they're going to pursue. And when they're so excited about figuring out, they turn around, one of the blinds is left open, and it's Sean and Jules staring at them. And it is the funniest damn thing in the world.
How does it go? I've lost myself here in the notes with the beachside Pilates.
Oh yeah. Oh geez. Because I've got the whole, I've got more and more, I've got the tap class tapping stuff in more detail.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, that's either way, like they come out of there and they're kind of shocked and flabbergasted to see the fact that Jules and Sean have been watching this go down. But, you know, we have a new suspect, and they kind of finish each other's sentences, and I'm sure we'll get to the other part later. And then
Sean hamburgers. And
hamburgers. Sean, why would I have been about to say hamburgers? I heard you made an H sound. So now they're off on their way to explore some different leads because Jules and Sean are going to go look at they go to the lab first.
They go to the lab because they think there's something more to Ben that meets the eye, you know, and so they want to sort of, you know, Sean wants to do his thing. And so we get to the lab and you know, they want to find out what Ben's like. Is there any further involvement for this guy? Is he maybe, you know, is he guilty? Is he a suspect? We don't know quite yet. And this is where we meet that little spitfire, Tanya. And she is just eye fucking the shit out of Sean right when they get there. And they're vibing. Jules is not impressed, but Sean needs a patsy. This is usually Gus's job to do something silly so that Sean can, you know, they distract people so Sean can go do his thing. So he enlists Jules to go participate in this fertility study. And I love this line where he says, don't pretend you couldn't use the $20. I've seen your apartment.
The way he liked the comma, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen your apartment.
Yeah.
It was, like the way he paused, I've seen your place. Hilarious.
It's absolutely fantastic. So while the two minxes are off, Sean's doing some exploring. He gets on Ben's computer and he sees that he sent some flowers to Desiree's mom. So Desiree is his girlfriend. That's the woman who was in the car. That's the victim. So guilty conscience, perhaps? Like, why is he sending? Is he into MILFs? Like, what's he doing here? Right. So definitely a little sus. Jules comes back and says, yeah, surprise. I'm taking all the drugs that exclude me,
from being this trial.
Yeah. And then, again, the two of them fucking flirt and hit it off again. And now we're at the used car dealership with Sean and with Gus. The fucking mismatch pairing here is really screwing me up.
Yeah. So this is where we get the key piece of information. We get the low jet. You're going to be able to track him. And then that's when they kind of go off. But we get some good stuff here. And like, I'd say the chances of you seeing that guy again are about as good as you turning this into a viable career, which is a
fucking
great
love that line.
Dig at people who work at those places. Because that is like the first job everybody gets out of business school is working at like a fucking rent-a-car place. I swear to God. Like everybody at Suffolk who is like a business major, like that's their first internship. And then that turns into their first job is working at the rent-a-car place. And no one ever fucking stays.
Yeah. So we get the – and that guy was such a fucking squid too that worked there.
Oh, yeah.
But we find out that the car does in fact have a low jack. So Lassie's convinced that it's Ben, but even Gus is saying, you know, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe he was really into her.
Well, yeah, because he thought it was common law husband and wife and that they were going to kill her off so we didn't get all the assets. And this is great. Gus, you got to grow up. People have sex and then kill each other. It's not some magical feelings place. Like, fucking unbelievable Lassie.
Fucking
line.
Lassie. Lassie was fucking great in this episode. I on absolutely fire. Love Lassie. So Sean and Jules are now at Desiree's mom's house, and we find out that she was not a fan of Ben. She called him a cheating bastard, and she found out that they had a big fight before she disappeared. Ben had stopped by, too, to offer his condolences at some point, but she, you know, told him to scram. So again, now we've got the same dynamic where Jules is convinced Ben is guilty, but not Sean, not so much. And so
also another small gimmick here, Sean stealing or getting food from people while offering condolences. This has happened a multiple times. Do you need your syrup heated up? I don't, but Gus does.
Yeah. Absolutely love that. Every time, when she make him cookies, he's stuffing cookies into his pocket.
And then as they get up, he just takes the rest of them.
Right. Because that's the other great thing about the odd couple pairing here is that like Sean and Gus, all they do is snack fruit and dried fruit, not snacks.
We got dried mangoes at work. They're good, but they're definitely not a snack.
It's not a snack, right? So the only thing Lassie has is some sunflower seeds in his ashtray, and Jules has nothing, right? Nope. So like, I love that sort of rolling dynamic too, you know, throughout the episode. And I love this. This is where we start to see like the breakup here, where Shaw goes, "Can we stop for a Jamba Juice?" And Jules goes, "No, we have to get back to the station so I can get my colored pencils and chart and extrapolate the information we have gathered." What was that word? Extrapolate? Yeah, it doesn't sound very fun at all.
Who said right? Work was supposed to be fun? Ron Jeremy, for starters.
Yeah, I was going to add that line. He's in jail now, I believe.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. It turns out Ron Jeremy is not a good guy.
I mean, a life of porn probably doesn't lead to the best choices. So,
but now, you know, Sean finds Gus. So, you know, they just it was very well done how they did this. Like Gus, mm-hmm. like subtly snuck away from Lassie. Sean had subtly snuck away from Jules, and they sort of, you know, they meet up and they're I think they're at Ben's house. And I can't
remember where Ben is, wherever he is now.
Right.
Like they tracked him to wherever he's hiding out.
Yeah. And I forget what led them both there, but I love this
because they knew it because Lassie and Gus tracked him and Lassie just needed a warrant. And then Sean used
the tracking device. Yeah. And so I love this too because you see them and they're like trying to apologize to each other and they're trying to give subtle daps to each other, and it was just really awkward.
And they use a bad take. I'm sure they got a good take of them bumping fists correctly, but I love the fact that they kind of use the one where they don't really hit.
Right. I thought it was great because they're like trying to be cool and they miss. But they catch Ben, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get, you know, Santonio Holmes. I don't know why that nickname sticks out to me all the time, but it does.
We also get the great moment where they kind of like are whispering and then. And then Ben like walks over to where they're whispering and then they move again.
Yeah, which was great. And so this is where Ben says, no, he's very much in love with Desiree. And they'd only been together for 5 years. And so this, you know, is alarm bells in Gus's head because he's like, 5 years, that's not long enough to be common law. This totally negates Lassie's theory that, you know, there was something, you know, about money. And so like, they're like, okay, all right. They completely believe him.
And this is where we get they moved together in 2005, which is only 3 years ago. Five. I should really start carrying a pocket calendar.
Absolutely fantastic. But then Lassie and Jules show up and they arrest Ben because they are both convinced that Ben is the killer. And mm-hmm. you got to say, the evidence does kind of point to it, right?
Mounting up against him.
Yep. But we finally get our teams back together, you mm-hmm. know, and Lassie and Jules saying, you know, teammates or partners are supposed to support each other. We never support each other. We're constantly lying and running. I miss that. And I love this where they both go, hamburgers.
And then we free Ben. And then Japa dogs.
What is a Japa dog?
I don't know. I would assume it's sort of like a different kind of sausage that like you might normally not like, probably not like the typical like Polish kind.
Because to me, whenever they reference Jamba Juice, I'm just thinking, oh, it's an Orange Julius.
Yeah, right? you've never seen a Jamba Juice?
I don't think I've ever seen a Jamba Juice.
Maybe they have them in like the Froofy malls, like a Burlington or something.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a dog's age.
Okay, it is a Japanese style hot dog.
That's it. What makes it a Japanese style hot dog?
What is in a Japa dog? Looking like drizzled in teriyaki, wasabi, and mayo. And scallions and bento flakes. So it's like a lot of the stuff you'd get on like, you know, sushi or, you know, some sort of, you know, Japanese food.
I'd give a Japa dog a whirl. Maybe nix the scallions, but I'd give it a roll. But so I love that. And then we'll get to it in a few seconds. I just want to mention it now because this actually happens when they're back at the psych office. But when Gus goes, you know, I thought about taking Lassie to get a Japa dog, but I just couldn't cheat on it with you. You know, so whatever it was, something to that mm-hmm. effect. He's like, oh, you know. But we get Woodrow. Mm-hmm. We get Woody.
Woody!
I love this little scene. It's just, there is just something so adorable between Sean and Woody that you just can't, like, it's just magical, really. And so the line is essentially where Sean goes, well, let's hope I'm never rolled in here on a gurney. And then Woody just goes,
"Let's.
If you were, I'd be honored to saw through your chest and remove your good-natured heart from its cavity."
I'm touched. Like, Woody, in your professional opinion, how do I die?
Oh, yeah, and he goes through
the murder, gangland, gangland style execution, and then Gus holds up his hand. You slip it a tub.
Yeah, love that. Look at Gus's face. It's like, really?
Oh, they also, Sean, they never find your head.
yeah, right. So we get that. I just love how he does that. You good natured heart from its chest cavity. But Woody, you know, Woody actually has, when he's like doing his job well, he's very good at it. And he says that the cause
maybe of death Gary was... Sinise. Maybe Gary Sinise. Nobody's better except maybe Gary Sinise.
He tells the guys that, you know, the cause of death was drowning, but there was no struggles. There was no like things that would indicate like.
Yep. They find the tether mark on her foot too. That's like a freezer burn tether mark.
Yep. And so again, very, you know, very sus. So Sean is like, there's something else going on here. This doesn't make a lot of sense. So we get back to the psych office, and I love this. What do we know about the case, Billy?
We know that there's a woman who's dead. Ben didn't kill her. Japa dogs are delicious. Ben was cheating on Desiree, and whoever that person he was cheating with would have a motive.
Yeah, I love that line. So what do we know about the case? There's a woman who's dead. And didn't kill her. Japa dogs are delicious. So now they think they have their suspect. So this is great. So Sean and Gus, they have a suspect. They just don't know who it is yet. Lassie and Jules have a suspect, but it's the wrong person, right? And so we got to figure things out now. So the next scene is a crime scene, and Ben is dead.
Dry drowned. Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. Yeah, right. So we're back with Woody, and again, he goes, this is odd. We have another drowning victim, but with no signs of struggle. And he goes, I think this person may have died before they actually, you know, got into the water, right? Yeah. Before, you know, water had a chance to, you know, fill their lungs.
And what was odd is there was two of them in a row. What would be really awesome if there was a third.
And so trying to figure out, and this is where Gus goes, dry drowning. Another thing I will never forget, you know, from this episode, and I'm like, Gus, you're just putting words next to each other, words that sound like things we're talking about.
Unreal.
And Woody goes, no, actually, you know, that makes sense. And so, like, so how would that work, right? Like, how could they pull this off? And they're like, oh, the person was probably put under anesthesia. Who do we know that does anesthesia? Tanya and the lab that they've been at. So they get to the lab, you know, and now everyone's all there. Tanya admits to sleeping with Ben, but she says it was just a one-time hookup because he was all, you know, lovey-dovey about Desiree and he felt guilty and, you know, you can't feel too guilty if you're, you know, you're porking someone else there, Brit. But she tells them, she's like, listen, I'm just a part-time employee. I think when she say, I got my degree at DeVry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have clearance.
No. You have to go to DeVry or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You'd have to go to DeVry or something, which is
educationconnection.com.
Right.
Get connected.
Do you remember those commercials?
I fucking love them.
Oh, they were the best. At
education.com.
Oh, because you'd be homesick and then be on all goddamn dare. You'd be home from college and they, oh man, I forgot about
it. I'm going to play that right after this fucking podcast and jam out.
So, you know, Ty's like, I don't have the clearance. I can't get in there. I can't administer anesthesia. And and it's at this moment where a crazy lady, I mean, we completely forgot. We glossed over a major plot point where crazy lady had come into the station. She had,
the time logs to free Ben from his incarceration because he was able to prove at the time of death that he was there, probably covering it for her because she was killing his girlfriend.
Right. And this was before he died, obviously. Right. Yes. So like she had,
this is why he died.
Yeah. We'll get into all that in the reveal in a second. But as Sean is kind of sort of blaming Tanya, he looks over, he sees Desiree open up Lillian, who's the crazy lady, open up a fridge. And there it is, the fucking dry ice. And then, you know, basically the reveal goes down. But before we get to the reveal, what I love is that after he accuses Tanya and then realizes it's not her. He goes, "You and me, we're back on dirty."
Back on dirty.
I love that line. So many great.
You never know which way it's going to go down. Psychically speaking, that is. But when we get to the reveal, it's pretty good because Sean's starting to break it down. And Lassie goes, "What's going on? Am I cuffing Charlotte the Harlot or what?" so Sean breaks it down. Unreal. Unreal. You just like glides it in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Billy.
No, you got it.
Okay. So we know who the who is. It's Lillian. We know the how. It's dry drowning. You know, so Lillian, you know, what she did was she knocked her victims out. She used a block of dry ice to keep the gas pedal down so the car, you know, could drive into the ocean. And in doing so, the water would melt the dry ice and it would look like an accident. It's actually a really good, like way to pull that off, if you ask me. Like,
it's great.
I thought that was kind of brilliant.
If she didn't get greedy, she would have got away with the first one.
Yeah, and then, you know, the why, it's basically jealousy. She was in love with Ben, but Ben wasn't in love with her. She was in love with Desiree. So she thought if she could get Desiree out of the picture, you know, that Ben would fall in love with her. He didn't. I guess, you know, what happened was that she admitted to him, you know, what she did think, and in some twisted way, like, her act of passion would make her, you know, more attractive. And it didn't. So she killed him, and that's event, you know, inevitably what did her in. And all in all, I thought this was a really good case.
Phenomenal. Start to finish, T to B, top to bottom. It was really good. The motives were really good. The way that they proceeded with the case, as we said a bunch of times, the mixed doubles of it all really sold the comedy of this episode. And I think they just had a lot of fun with it. And it was basically, like you said, it was the four main players just kind of like riffing and, you know, chopping it up, walking the biz neat, just having a time, you know?
Yeah. It's great. Let's get into the Thundercats over here. Let's talk about some of our favorite moments and quotes and things and such. So, like, I mean, the tap class stuff, anything with tap dancing was absolutely brilliant. And I love, like, when Lassie's first there, you know, when he's talking to Gus about tap dancing, and Gus goes, "You know, you're both insulting me and asking for a favor at the same time." And Lassie goes, "Cut me a break. My insurance only covered 4 therapy sessions."
Like, great little joke there to be like, it only allowed me this much. So what do you expect?
Right. Let's see. Gus. Oh, so yeah, There was a moment during the reveal where Sean's trying to break it down. And as he's in the middle of his reveal, Lassie's like, he's trying to put it together.
Oh, my God.
So he just starts fucking dancing. And everyone's looking at him like, what the fuck is going on? And he's fucking stone-faced just doing his little fucking thing. And
then Sean has the best fucking line, too. He's like, "Lassie, I don't think we have time to give this the Savion Glover treatment." And do you know who Savion Glover is?
I do not, no.
He's like one of the all-time great tap dancers.
Oh, yes.
He's got like the long braids. He's like a famous tap dancer. But like just the fact that they worked in the Savion Glover treatment, unbelievable.
Yeah. When they get buddies, so you've been taking tap class together. What's next? Singing into hairbrushes, beachside Pilates, quick jewels. Chime in while I think of some more zingers. What's next?
What's next? Bridge.
Yeah, bridge. Wait, what? Thanks for killing the bit, Jules.
Unreal.
Well, I think it's some more zingers. And the look on his face, he's ready for it. Just, bridge. Like that just fucking killed me. The recital at the end. Let me tell you, brother can dance.
He's great. He's really brother great. The other guy obviously is phenomenal. Like the song's great too. The doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Doom.
And if that's you my listen, partner. That's my part. And so I've never, this was the first time listening, you know, watching that episode, like with having my headphones on, like the sound is obviously so much better. I love like watching tap dance because like it is so rhythmic. And so like when you watch this and when you have the headphones on, you really hear every single little step goes with the beat of the song, like perfectly. It is insane that how on point that is, and they were great. And then Sean yells out, "The black guy's my partner." And Jules goes, "They're both black."
Loved it.
You know, And then fucking Lassie comes out dancing with the little kids, right? And he's doing a great job, and he's doing the thing, and all of a sudden he's in the zone, and he's with all these little kids that must be 4, 5, 6 years old. He goes, "I know who the West Side Rapist is."
And this is also like phenomenal camera work, because this is a nice like quick slide pull in on his face and like stop. It really sells the moment of like the epiphany happening, and it's hysterical. And then Jules, "Well, that's my partner."
Yep, that's my partner. The Odd Couple pairings. I mean, we've already dove into that a ton. Let's see. Oh, I love this one. When they're first at the lab, you've got Gus and Lassie, and Lassie's talking with the lab tech, and then she walks away to go check something, and Gus pipes in. He goes, "Oh, blah, 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 it's a double blind." He gives him all the information, and Lassie goes, "Why didn't you speak up earlier?" He goes, "You know, Sean, I never get a word in edgewise." And then he goes, "Yeah, O'Hara usually just blurts out her opinion. It's just if I asked for them, wanted them, or needed them." Because women ruin everything. Like, Lassie's got some shit he's got to work out.
Oh, my
out.
God. Yeah, he's having a rough go of it.
Yeah, because it's what, next season when he meets, what's her name? Buffy? What's this?
It'll come to me. Smoochy face.
Begin with an M.
Margo?
No.
Marlo.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. There we go. So that's always good for Lassie, but man, like he's got some lady issues.
Mm-hmm.
It is a majestic color that Billy has on. Is that the salmon that you're wearing there, Billy?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit of salmon.
A little bit of salmon. But yeah, the rivalry was great. So did you have a least favorite moment? Cause I sure as hell didn't.
No, this thing was pretty flawless from start to finish. I mean, they really hit a home run here. And like, I had fun watching this episode a few times this week. And when I rewatched it, like right before the show, usually like I do, I was like enjoying the hell out of it. Like, it was a classic episode.
It's hard to watch this episode without a shit eating grin on your face the entire time.
So good.
Absolutely fantastic. Let's see a couple of before we do that, who's your favorite character, Billy?
I think you picked the correct one, but Sean was just giving it his all in this episode. He was enunciating the end of stuff like unbelievably, that I think we get a little bit more in every episode. Just his comedy and his selling of every little expression, like the when he takes the pause after like took a nap, had a snack, and then like the look around like of I'm a little tired. Like, yeah. it sells the bit even more.
We're worth the machines. I mean, I wanted to pick Sean. I did. And I was thinking, oh, I could give Sean, I give it to Lassie. I could even think about giving Gus? It to Gus. Lassie was fucking great in this. The whole bit with the squirrels. I know what happened to your neighbor's squirrels. And him tap dancing and all that. Like, I just thought it was fucking hilarious. But Sean was definitely the comedic, kingpin in this episode. But some quotes. I love this one from last year. Because you're so predictable, Spencer. And then Sean goes, as predictable as your next date saying, I hope this never happens to someone else.
Unreal. It's just a perfect line. Yeah. I'd be lying if I said Val Kilmer still looks like Val Kilmer. I have faith. I do too.
Yeah. I'm not used to getting introduced by my real name. And then you already said this one. I want to chop it up. Pound the pavement. Walk the biz.
Walk the biz neat.
Oh, and then let's see here. He likes to use your own words against you. Now we reveal alien style.
Rebel.
That's right. And then, but how about this one? Holy smokes. You got to give it to the Japanese, not just because they invented the Chinese.
What does that even mean? Is it true?
That seems
inappropriate.
It's wildly inappropriate, but it was fucking hysterical.
That seems awful. You want to see what you feel?
I can't lose with this girl. What's the deal here? Am I cuffing Charlotte the harlot? No, you and I are back on dirty.
Like,
there was just some great stuff there. So with that said, Billy, let's get to that creamsicle, baby.
Yeah, let's put the cream in it. Pineapples, Lillian's desk, descriptions of Lassie. Nothing really. Jules, don't be Canada. I use that a lot, actually, because that's fucking hysterical.
I'm going to cab, driving into a fucking hurricane. A great way to start vacation. Yeah.
Like the scorpions. Gus nicknames, one of your favorites, Santonio Holmes. And then when he walks up, he's like, I'm a psychic. This is my partner, Dion Richmond. No, I'm not.
So this was a weird one because we could use the I've heard it both ways, as well as wordplay, where Dockett. Wait. No, I haven't. Because you think he's about to say I've heard it both ways. He goes, what? No, I haven't. And that also kind of falls under wordplay. So the Henry Father of the Year / Dick of the Year moment. He was more Father of the Year in this episode. I thought Henry was great in the small bits he had. Because he goes, oh, hey, I know what happened to your neighbor's squirrels.
Unreal.
And I just love the whole thing. It's like, I don't want to pay you for sitting on your ass. You know, you're going to go, I'm going to at least put so
go earn it,
when
buddy.
I want something, it's still a punishment. You know? Mm-hmm. There was a couple of references. Val Kilmer we mentioned a moment ago. Jake the Snake Roberts. I know there was a couple others.
Savion Glover.
Yeah, but there wasn't a ton. The humor in this really wasn't with the obscurity, but it really was
more
just
derivative of the plot.
Yeah, and the delivery mm-hmm. of lines was absolutely executed perfectly. Now, originally, William,
you had a 7.5.
Yeah, I had a little bit lower. I had it rated the same as what was the last episode? Romeo, Juliet, and Juliet. But then when I mm-hmm. thought about it, I said, I really love that episode, but this is a top 10. It's gotta be higher than that. And I saw what you gave me and I go, yeah, that's about right. So I went 7.8 mm-hmm. pineapples, baby.
Yeah, I mean the same thing here. Recently, me, Goo, and Fry are all rated like the same score for Harley Quinn season 3. So I'm fine. Like share scores, it's deserving of that score.
Yeah,
it's nearly a flawless episode. I think we're only not giving it an 8 because there are other episodes in this season that are probably better.
Yeah. Like I said, this is the best season of Psych. Now the rest of the seasons going forward still have a lot of great hits,
mm-hmm.
but there's a few
high
more.
Slugging, low average,
exactly.
Lower
exactly.
average,
yeah. So, come on, son.
I'm out of here with that bull. Come on. Season 5, episode 3 is next. Not even close encounters. Our guy Freddie Prince, his hot wife. Not to be salacious, but I mean, that's why they cast her.
Holy smokes.
Some hysterical moments in this one too. I watched that one a lot, but I haven't probably watched it in a few months. So it'll be interesting to rewatch that one. So, it'll be a lot of fun and that'll be in 2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks. I will be away in disaster torn, Nova Scotia. Go fucking figure. Billy. As we wrap this puppy up, where can the people find us?
Anywhere you want, mostly on podcasting platforms. Check it out. But also on the Dorkshire Gooniverse, you can find all the podcasts along with all the podcasting platforms. TLDR, that's your other podcast. PCP, that's my other podcast. Pop Culture Pile Driver. Then you have Change My Mind, where I think I dominated another draft. Those poor
you,
guys.
You fucking killed it, man. Holy smokes. It wasn't even close. Not
like Fryer, Fryer had it to lose. It was his to lose, and he fucking did. And then West taken back to back mid tier
Leonardo DiCaprio movies,
unreal. And then the heavy hitters Dork and Mac and Goo, and I believe that's it, except for the streamer Shime Time Backcracker on Twitch, and then the Dork Boys will Twitch from time to time on YouTube's.
So Billy. Until 2 weeks, wait for it.
Frank says hi.